The E-Commerce Uncovered podcast is a behind-the-scenes look at what makes e-commerce a success in today's ever-growing and continually changing online world. The podcasts look to uncover the secrets of e-commerce success so you can learn and apply to your own online business. Brought to you by the co-founders of Core Fulfillment, one of the UK's leading e-commerce fulfillment providers, Paul Burns and Jeremy Vernon.
Hi, Jeremy Vernon here, and welcome to another episode of E-commerce Uncovered. Today, I would like to talk about delivery, such a big and important part of e-commerce and also the customer journey relating to e-commerce. So it really is worthy of a dedicated episode. There are lots of options out there, lots of couriers offering various different speeds of delivery, standards of delivery. I just really wanted to go through the various elements of delivery, what you should look for, who the couriers are, and other elements that you may or may not think about when either you're setting up a business or you're thinking of changing a courier for your existing business or just looking at other options out there for your customers. This element of e-commerce, I think, causes the biggest frustration for customers and probably also the biggest area for complaints. So it is vitally, vitally important that you get this bit right. And obviously, you're handing over your parcels, et cetera, over to someone else. So it's about choosing the right partners for this to make sure that the majority of times it works. Things will go wrong. That's just the nature of this industry. But it's obviously making sure that those are an absolute minimum and the people that you do use are doing a great job for you and ultimately delighting your customers. Okay, so let's have a look at what delivery options are available. I'm really going to concentrate on domestic within the UK for this. Obviously, if you go internationally, there is a whole heap of other stuff that you need to consider. This certainly isn't an exhaustive list, but I really want to talk about what options or sort of main options we have in the UK for our e-commerce businesses and who we can use. Might as well start off with the largest carrier, that being Royal Mail. So really a fantastic service. I know they get a bad rap sometimes, but for light and small parcels, really you cannot beat Royal Mail. It's great value, some great tracking on there as well. So really anything small and light and small, typically shoebox size or a little bit bigger than a shoebox size is really the maximum they want to really handle. And obviously, as I say, around about up to 2 kilograms in weight. That does cover a huge amount of products. So certainly clothing, small items, gadgets, things like that. It covers a huge amount. So that really does cover a huge amount of parcels. So as I say, they are the largest parcel carrier in the UK. They also are unique in the sense that they have something, or they have to work to something, should I say, called the Universal Service Obligation, USO. This really dates back to when they were non-privatized, and really this is their obligation to be, or have to, deliver parcels to every address in the UK. So under that USO, they have to deliver 6 days a week, at least one delivery per day to each address, do that for a single flat price. They can't charge more for remote areas or highlands and islands. And that includes the 30 million plus households within the UK. So Royal Mail have to meet that universal service obligation. And that's actually regulated by Ofcom. They see that obviously as an essential service for, you know, things like rural areas, pensioners, non-abled bodied, all the people that wouldn't necessarily be able to go and collect their parcels stroke mail from somewhere else. It's all dropped off and obviously posted to their address. So that makes Royal Mail completely unique in the industry, really, because no one else has to honour the universal service obligation. You can obviously see that Royal Mail can see that as unfair, certainly if they're asked to compete on price, on service, against other competitors, which obviously we'll talk about in a second. So all those other competitors really are cherry-picking the more profitable areas, pretty much the higher density in terms of population. And that's pretty much a threat, really, to the USO. Now, obviously, Ofcom are keen to keep that in place, as you would expect. But obviously, at some point, I suppose there'll have to be some changes to, not necessarily to the USO, but how it all works. Just because Royal Mail, it's difficult to compete against other carriers when they've got to be able to take a parcel to the Outer Hebrides or wherever they are when another carrier would go, I'm not doing that for a standard price, I'll do it for a surcharge price. So yeah, Royal Mail, as I say, pretty much the largest carrier in the UK and very good at what they do. I know, as I say, they get lots of criticism, but they are delivering more than anybody else, so I guess you'll see that. Next on the list, and pretty much the best courier out there, certainly quality-wise and technology-wise, is DPD. This is our most popular option. I think most people will have experienced DPD delivery. It is great. It's quite innovative. They're using technology to their advantage. They made a heavy investment in tech, and it shows. It's a great, great service. Now, it's one of the most expensive services out there as well, but really, this is you pay for what you get. So a highly recommended service, but as I say, very much a premium service. They also do their DPD drop-off, which is the sort of independent shops, the parcel shops, as they call it. So yeah, they've got that network now. Obviously, if you're not in, or you know you're going to be at work and you can't have it delivered to home, then obviously you can have it delivered to a local shop that's registered in their DPD drop-off network. DPD regularly named the best courier in satisfaction surveys, you know, which and things like that. Absolutely, and will do for a long time. There's a big gap in our opinion to the quality of DPD being top and then sort of the next level down. So the other couriers have really quite a lot to do to get up to the standards where DPD currently are. So who else have we got? Yodel, pretty much mid-range. They get a lot of criticism. They also are quite a big player. They deal with quite a significant amount of sort of next day traffic. They're mid-range in terms of price as well. Now, not everyone can afford, for example, DPD for a next day service, and some people for whatever reason don't want to use Royal Mail. So Yodel, from a next day service perspective, is a good, cheap, mid-range alternative for next day delivery. They do other services as well, but pretty much next day is one of the most popular services that you'll really find in sort of today's e-commerce. Hermes, next on the list. Hermes and My Hermes. Hermes, one of the cheaper carriers out there, but work with some major, major e-commerce brands, the likes of Next, John Lewis, ASOS, Debenhams, all will use Hermes to deliver their parcels. So a lot of sort of clothing, light stuff, small stuff will go through the Hermes network. Hermes is actually the second largest parcel company within the UK. They quote around about 250 million parcels per annum that they deliver. So they're obviously number two against Royal Mail. Then you've got people like UK Mail, another sort of mid-range, I would say. And they probably are the only ones trying to directly compete, I would say, certainly from a technology perspective with DPD. They've made some heavy investment as well into their platforms and apps and sort of notification methods, but not quite done it as well as DPD have. Really, really not got to where they are yet. So they are trying another a sort of viable next day service through UK Mail, but certainly not yet to the standards of DPD. Next on the list I've got, now you can't actually use these, but I just wanted to talk about this, Amazon Logistics. Now, obviously Amazon Logistics is purely dedicated to delivering Amazon's own parcels and has taken a significant amount of traffic away from the likes of Royal Mail, but they are currently testing delivering products for other people. Now, effectively, they want to be another general carrier. They're obviously out there, they've got their infrastructure, they're delivering to their current customers, and they're obviously just looking to expand that and offer it to other people. So as I say, that's being piloted or tested in the US, or certainly due to start very soon, not available in the UK. But interestingly, that could well be an option for delivery for any other retailer relatively soon in the UK. So I guess that's really one to watch out for. Other couriers that we'll have that you may have heard of, DX, for example. Typically, they specialize really in two main areas. Secure packets, they do a lot of work, for example, on behalf of the passport office. So when passports get sent out, typically they would use a secure service through someone like DX. And the other side of their business, really, that they concentrate on is the larger, heavier parcels. So moving into more sort of two-man delivery. So smaller furniture, heavier items, that type of thing would typically go through DX. We don't have a great deal of experience with the really heavy stuff, but obviously, you know, there's lots of people, sort of the bathroom companies, for example, furniture companies, all will need this type of service, the two-man lift, to deliver their heavier, bulkier parcels. Parcelfus, obviously, is another option. They're really quite a good international courier, really. They're actually now called Parcelforce Worldwide. They originally, obviously, were the parcel arm of Royal Mail until they were split out. I think early 80s or mid 80s, they were split into Royal Parcels. Then they were rebranded to Parcelforce in the 1990s, I think it was. Still part of the Royal Mail group, but very separate now to Royal Mail. Obviously, Royal Mail still do parcels, as we've mentioned, the sort of smaller, lighter stuff. But really, the sort of other aspect, the heavier, bigger stuff really would go through Parcelforce. And as I say, they sort of specialise really in the international as well. But don't really want to cover the international too much today, purely because there's plenty to go through from a UK perspective. Then there's other sort of, let's call them hybrid couriers. So things like Whistle. Typically, Whistle started more so in mail and things like that, and mail to your home. But they sort of, why I say hybrid, Whistle are the market leader for something called downstream access. Now, what downstream access is effectively, it sits alongside something like the Royal Mail. So they'll do their own collections. They have their own distribution network, their own hubs and everything else. But then they would put that, so letters or parcels, then into the Royal Mail network for the sort of final mile delivery. So effectively, it'll be delivered to your home address by Royal Mail, but the bit behind the scenes collection from the retailer and their whole distribution around the country will actually be done through their own distribution network. So hence why it's called sort of a hybrid, really. Really think what happened here was sort of to remove the monopoly that Royal Mail had. I suppose the easy comparison to this is if you think about broadband. Obviously, there's lots of broadband providers out there, but ultimately they're all using, certainly to the connection to the home, they're all using BT's networks. So it's called Local Loop Unbundling, LLU, for purposes of broadband. So it's a similar concept, really, to that with the downstream access. So they effectively utilising the benefit of the USO. So Royal Mail delivers it in the end, but they have, in theory, they have more efficient and better ways of distributing in bulk around the country. Other sort of DSA providers that you may have heard of, Secured Mail, UK Mail, which I've just mentioned, and City Post. So typically on letters, you will see, instead of a franking stamp, you'll see something like City Post or something in the top right-hand corner of the letter. And obviously also the parcel as well. So they're the sort of downstream access providers. Then you've got things like the lockers. So InPost, they provide a locker solution very much on the same lines as the Amazon lockers, which we've probably all heard of. So a locker solution really is that it's obviously delivered to a locker. They're open 24/7, 365 days a year. InPost state, they've got around about 1,200 locations around the UK. Typically in supermarkets, I think it's Morrison's that they have theirs in, petrol stations, and some Transport for London sites, so tube stations and things like that, they'll have these in. As I say, Amazon have these, so similar sort of places, petrol stations, all those sorts of things. So effectively, your parcel will be delivered there. You'll get a notification to say that parcel's been delivered. You would turn up. Pretty much you'd, I don't know, go after work or something like that and collect the parcel using a unique code to get into the locker. Then we've got Collect Plus. Collect Plus have got over 7,000 locations across the UK, typically in newsagents, convenience stores, petrol stations. They state that 90% of the population is within a mile's drive of a Collect Plus location. And the way they've done this, it's actually a joint venture through PayPoint, who are the retail payment network, and Yodel, obviously, we've mentioned as a courier. So effectively, it would be Yodel that deliver it to the shop, and you obviously then collect under the Collect Plus brand from your local newsagent or convenience store. Far more popular than the InPost locker solution, and I guess far more convenient as well. So that's another option for delivery. Along the same lines, another company, Doddle, only 262 locations per their website across the UK at the moment. Slight difference there is they would typically have, or some of them have, dedicated shops that actually would have a branded shop as a Doddle shop. And effectively, it's a parcel shop. I've seen these in London around sort of major office locations within London. So a lot of office blocks now are banning personal deliveries to work because their post rooms are getting so clogged up with people having deliveries made to work. So this is where sort of Doddle sits, really. You can have it delivered to a Doddle store, and then obviously after, before work, whatever, you can go in and collect your parcel. you obviously, some of you also, if you run online and offline, so if you have physical bricks and mortar stores, which quite possibly you will have, then obviously you've got things like click and collect that will help with that. So you may use one of the couriers that we just talked about to actually do that. But certainly from a customer perspective, you can offer a click and collect service from a delivery perspective. There are lots and lots and lots of other options, other couriers, parcel shop solutions, really too many to go through now. So I just wanted to give you an overview of what options you have for delivery solutions, you know, ranging from the sort of most expensive, the likes of DPD, down to the less expensive. So Royal Mail are on the cheaper side, depending on what service you use. And then obviously things like Hermes, pretty much one of the cheaper carriers as well. So something for everyone, really. Not everyone can afford the more expensive DPD rates, of course. That's just the way it is. And some people don't want to pay for it. Retailers don't want to pay for that level of service. And I fully understand that. Some of the other services are perfectly good for what they need. So what are the typical parcel size and weight restrictions for the couriers? Well, as you'd expect, every courier pretty much has their own size and weight restrictions. But just to give you an idea of where they would be, DPD, for example, will do, DPD and Yodel will do up to around about 31 kilograms in weight. They do have slightly different specifics about maximum length of parcels. DPD will go up to 1.8 maximum length. Yodel would go up to something like 1.5 maximum length. There are restrictions in total girth as well. Really, for any of these carriers, it would be good to, if you've got any concerns, you think you might be breaching any of these restrictions, weights or maximum length, just go onto their website and have a look. They're pretty well advertised what they'll handle in terms of these weights and dims. So Hermes, for example, up to 15 kilograms in weight, so less than the likes of DPD and Yodel, and a shorter maximum length of 1.2 meters. Really, what you've got to consider is certainly for, you know, the likes of DPD, Yodel, Hermes, and Royal Mail, the really bigger ones, there's a huge amount of automation that goes into these businesses, from the sort through to the whole distribution side of things. So all of these parcels will be going through and on to things like conveyors, sorters. So this is why they're quite strict with certainly the weights and the dims. Otherwise, they just don't go through them, the mechanics, through the automation, and they have to be handled manually, which really these guys obviously just really, really don't want to be doing. So just bear in mind that the restrictions, certainly from weight and length, that they would have. Mentioned earlier, Royal Mail, they typically want to handle the sort of lighter up to 2 kilogram parcels. Those parcels, their maximum length is a much smaller at 45 centimetres maximum length. As I said, they will take heavier, but they really do price themselves out of the market for anything above 2 kilograms. The other guys are far more cost effective for anything over that. But ultimately, Royal Mail will take anything up to around about 20 kilograms. And for those larger parcels, that's around about 61 centimeters maximum length. Again, Royal Mail will have a total girth restriction in terms of all of the sides sort of combined, but just gives you an idea really of the actual physical size of the box that they'll take. Obviously, the lockers is another option that we've talked about. They will have very specific size restrictions, presumably against what they have available at the lockers in certain locations. I guess they'll have varying different sizes of those lockers, but those lockers will certainly have quite stringent size restrictions just to use them. So again, worth looking at someone like InPost to have a look at what restrictions they would have to be able to use something like that. As I say, think automation, think conveyor belts. All of this is really designed to make sure that these guys can process these things as quickly as possible. They've made huge investments in these automations and these automated sites that they have. And typically as well, what we've just mentioned, really, other than probably DX, all of these are single man delivery. So single delivery driver, obviously got to be able to handle that product safely and get it to your door safely as well. So that's why obviously weight restrictions, even 31 kilograms, that's a reasonable weight to carry in a parcel. But obviously they will do that typically for a standard uniform price up to around about 31 kilograms. So as I say, for DPD and for Yodel, we'll do that. So how does the pricing work for this? Very simply, most of it is down to volume. So for the likes of Royal Mail, they're very open about, one, their pricing. You can go and have a look at their pricing online. There are different tiers of pricing for Royal Mail. depending on certain volumes that you push through their network, sort of volume related discounts, what sort of level of pre-sortation you would do before giving them the sort of parcels, and whether you're on a business account, whether you're on a franking account, all sorts of various different things that give you different prices with Royal Mail, but typically very static and very volume driven. But you can go and have a look online for Royal Mail and pretty much see what price you would get from Royal Mail. Other couriers, however, very much bespoke. You would put a proposition to them. Here's my profile of my traffic. Here's my expected volumes. And they would then come back to you with a typical price based on that information. Typically, they would say if you don't meet those volumes, there might be a recourse to the pricing. So there might be some sort of rebate. It might be that they can review every few months. So if you're not hitting those volumes, they have the ability to increase that price at a point in time. But it's very bespoke and you have to go direct to the couriers really and effectively negotiate on those prices based on what you would pass through volume wise. There's other elements that you need to consider for pricing. A big thing in the industry is surcharges. I mentioned it earlier on. Highlands and islands. Now, going back to the Royal Mail Universal Service obligation, Royal Mail have to deliver to anywhere in the UK, any residential address in the UK for the same price. Now, the other couriers don't have to do that. So typically for sort of what they would call highlands and islands, so the outer sort of parts of the country where people don't live, or certainly the main population don't live, they would surcharge that. They would put a highlands and islands surcharge on it. They also have something called out of area, again, a surchargeable premium in effect. Other elements that they would charge extra for is things like BFPO, so the British Forces Post Office. Typically, no one really wants to sort of send parcels that way. I think there's also quite a lot of restrictions about how those parcels get through. So a lot of security checks, those sorts of things. So to send it via them, some couriers won't send to BFPOs. Some will surcharge heavily. Other elements is things like proof of delivery. Most of the couriers that we've talked about will have some form of tracking. Tracking doesn't necessarily mean POD or proof of delivery. Tracking can vary massively in terms of the different couriers of what information you get, when you get that information, how detailed that information is. We can come on to tracking a bit later on. But certainly to get with some of the couriers, if you wanted a proof of delivery, whether that be a signature, sometimes they do photographs now. Now, obviously, Amazon, I think, recently had this where they're saying they took a photograph of the front door with the parcel in front of it. And it certainly seemed to be that they were pioneering that. But to be honest, that's been around quite a while. So they certainly haven't pioneered that. But all these sorts of things can be a surchargeable element to their delivery. Again, very specific to the courier. For example, again, mentioned DPD is probably the most expensive premium service out there. But the price you would pay for DPD to get it to a non-Highlands and Islands area, pretty much you get everything you need, full tracking, live tracking, proof of delivery, everything within that fixed price. So there wouldn't be additional sort of surcharges of things like proof of delivery. So you don't pay for that. But obviously others, for example, Hermes, you may pay extra for a POD to be added to the service that you have. One other surcharge, which is universal pretty much across the parcel industry, is fuel surcharge. Always, always be aware or ask the question whether the prices include or exclude fuel surcharge. It's industry-wide. Now, not everyone will charge it. We do see some charging effectively 0%, but it can range from, as I say, 0 through to around about 15%. On top of the price that you may have been quoted. So really, really important just to check whether the price and the quote that you have, inclusive or exclusive of fuel surcharge. And obviously just to double check whether under what circumstances that would and wouldn't be charged. Certain services might have it, international if they do it, for example, may have it, and domestic not, or obviously vice versa. So just worth noting when looking at pricing for delivery. Okay, so what happens if it goes wrong? It does sometimes. It's just the nature of sending things through, lots of things, parcels through networks. Sometimes they get lost. Sometimes they get damaged. I think we were told on average a parcel will be handled up to 11 times from obviously being dispatched through to delivery to the customer. So you can imagine sometimes these things get damaged, sometimes they're not handled well. Yeah, sometimes drivers aren't in a great mood, for example, so they might drop things, they might not care for things as they would ordinarily do. So there are lots of variants within this. So yeah, sometimes parcels either don't get to where they're supposed to get to, or sometimes don't get to where they're supposed to get to in the condition that they should. So what about insurance against either loss or damage? Again, big variation between carriers, really, what they would actually offer, but most will provide some form of insurance against either loss or damage. Typically, the values of that, it's dependent on what's in the parcel, but typically the range would be from around about a £25 insurance value to up to sort of around a maximum of 100. Typically 100 would be on the likes of the more premium DPD type services, but again, it's actually dependent on the value of the contents. And as part of the claim, you would need to provide quite a bit of information. The insurance is based on replacement value only for the product, so there's no sort of profit margins or anything like that they'll cover. It's just the replacement cost of what was in that parcel. You'd need to provide invoices to prove that. There is a claim process that you'd have to go through. I have to admit, I think that claims process is designed to fail. It's very difficult at times. It can be quite long and drawn out process. Ultimately, they want to make it very difficult to claim for these things. So it's designed not to be successful, but it can be done. Absolutely. It's there to protect you. You're sending your goods and things like that and stuff to your customers. And obviously you're relying on it getting there in a decent state. And obviously, ultimately, actually you're paying for that service for that. So there is the level of insurance against loss or damage, but you just need to be aware of sometimes how long and how difficult that process is to claim for that. But just be tenacious. Keep on with it, and those claims, as long as obviously you can prove those claims and prove values, you should be able to get those loss or damage claims through with your carrier. Before I go on to the next point, I'm just looking at the time here. I think I've got quite a bit more to do. There's quite a bit more to cover for delivery. I said at the beginning, this is quite a big and really important element of e-commerce. So I think rather than either making this really long, this episode, or rushing through the rest of the content, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to split this into part one and part two. So this, I'm going to finish off part one in a second of the delivery episode, and then I'll do a separate episode for part two for the remainder of the topics that I need to cover. So to finish off part one, talk a little bit about tracking. Mentioned it earlier. Now, the level of tracking that you get from the different couriers is vast. Tracking proof of delivery isn't necessarily the same thing. Now, in some services, you would call it fully tracked. Others, you would just call it tracked. And tracked might be that you can just see that the parcel has been received by the courier and is out for delivery. And then you may see that says delivered. Well, if that's during the delivery and your customer's coming to you and saying, haven't had my parcel, where's my order? And all you can see, and obviously they as well, because they'll have the tracking information as well if you provide it to them, just to say out for delivery doesn't give you a huge amount of information. So that's probably where the least level of information from tracking comes in. But then obviously it does go all the way through to really detailed tracking. So for example, I know we keep mentioning it, but the tracking you get with something like DPD is virtually real time. You can pretty much see all the scans in the hubs, in the various different sort of stages of the hubs that it's been to, and then the regional hubs, and then when it gets on out for delivery onto the van. And then once it's on the van, typically through their Predict service that they've invested heavily in, you can then track the delivery driver, obviously on a Google map, and you can obviously track where you are in his round. So it'll give you an idea of, obviously in the first part of the morning, it'll give you a 2-hour window, the delivery schedule, but closer to that'll start to reduce to a 1-hour, and then eventually it'll give you a 15-minute window that you can get the delivery time. So, and obviously you can tracking on a map as well. So really just wanted to talk about the tracking really and that level of info and level of detail that you get. So just worth bearing in mind, certainly if you want to pass that on to your customer and give them that comfort factor knowing that they can track where things are, they know where things are. It's vast, huge difference. And I think it's sometimes if you want that really detailed level, it's really good to have it against something like the premium service. You can have elements added to that. So for example, with Royal Mail, they'll do a tracked service, but they'll also do a tracked and signed version as well. So that's more along the lines of the POD, the proof of delivery. And also you might want that signature to prove that, or who signed for it, should I say. So if it's a valuable item, or if it's restricted in the sense of it needs to be handed to an adult, if it's alcohol or something like that, then you may want to go for signed services again in addition to the tracking. So that's relevant to probably what you're sending more than anything else. Or else you just might want to be able to have a signed for service just so you can say to your customers, we've got a signed for service. So one other benefit of the Predict service that DPD has, and I think this is one of their real innovations that they've put in place, is what they call in-flight options. I'm sure you've experienced them, but they are great. Obviously, the parcel goes onto the van. The text message goes to the customer to say, here's your 2-hour window. If, obviously, their plans have changed and suddenly they're going, do you know what? I'm not going to be in at that time, or something's changed for them and they need to change the delivery. They obviously can do that in virtual real time, pretty much up until the parcel is delivered. So they can obviously text back to say, you know, leave with neighbour, leave in safe place, or delay till tomorrow. They can have that flexibility in terms of the in-flight options, which is certainly from a customer experience perspective is a great thing to have. So these are the sorts of innovations that we're seeing, certainly around the tracking and the management of those deliveries. Life gets in the way sometimes, so I think it's a really good thing to have. And the customers love it when, you know, when things change and they want to change things over, or want to change the date of the delivery, they can do that knowing that they'll be in tomorrow and they'll get it delivered then. Okay, so I'm going to leave it there. That's end of part one for our delivery episode. So I'll cover the other bits in a separate part two, just so I'm not rushing it and we're not making it too long. So please do tune in for part two of this delivery episode, where I'll be covering packaging, integrations, what you can and can't send, and what's next for delivery. What innovations are we seeing? So thanks for tuning into part one. I'll see you in part two.